Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is Julie Bango. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you, Father.
We're continuing our conversation on Julie's story, the story of her faith and of her conversion. But let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this time, for all the truths and insights that you're going to plant into our hearts. We give you thanks, and we ask this all in the name of Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Julie, you were talking about, and it's very interesting, you know, I think when we all look back, whether our life is a big mess or a smaller mess, we see how the Lord kind of guides it. And, you know, it's interesting. I had a conversation the other day with someone about really it's these moments. Our stories are about moments. You know, we don't necessarily write an autobiography. We write a collection of stories, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the story of our conversion. And, it, you know, in your own, you know, with Father Mason, and then in your discernment, you know, this experience with the religious sisters, and then this sort of loss of faith. And I guess before we proceed, one of the things is, it is possible to lose our faith. And in some ways, it's very mysterious how it just kind of goes. You know, sometimes, you know, it's like a fire. It's because we haven't fed it, you know, or allowed it to be fed by the fuel of the sacraments and prayer. You know, sometimes the Lord has some providential reason, you know, like we fall away so that we can come back stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and or sometimes there's some great trial that we go through that we just cannot really reconcile with, or, you know. So I think, and it sounds from your own story, and you know, maybe you could comment on this, is, I mean, it just, maybe it wasn't fed. Was that the idea?
I think that I was of the culture, and even though, my goodness, you know, Father Mason, I went through the Baltimore Catechism, but I didn't go deep into my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so the culture became more important than my faith. And I think I was childish in my expectation of, you know, give me an answer, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, the way I want the answer.
And that, you know, it's the seed that's scattered on rocky soil or
yes.
something, like, or on the path, you know, that can't really set in deep roots.
Yes, that's right.
And maybe that is why in some people's stories, faith is lost in the midst of strife or, you know, crisis, because the roots aren't very strong
mm-hmm.
or deep. So then you were married. You got married, and you were walking the mean streets of German Village, and you saw St. Mary's there, and the sign for this this program, it sounded like for lapsed Catholics.
Yes.
And that was the beginning of a kind of your return to the faith.
That's right, yes. So it was very interesting. My interest was piqued. I joined the class. I was surprised by some of the things I was hearing, but I went back every week. And one of the things that I heard from the DRE was, she had noticed me going to Mass every week, and she said, I notice you don't come up for communion. And I said, oh, well, you know, I can't do that. I haven't been to confession yet. I'm still discerning. And she said, oh, confession, we don't do that anymore.
Oh,
so
boy.
Again, the Lord loved me enough to have me question that. And I thought, you know, I don't want to be a Catholic like that. I don't want to be a Catholic that doesn't go to confession,
yeah.
you know. So I made an appointment to see the priest there, who was absolutely wonderful. And I made a good confession. And it took quite a while for me to do that. I really did want to discern it. I didn't jump, you know, right back into the faith. I wanted to make sure, I wanted to be loyal. I wanted to make sure that I was understood what I was getting into.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me is Julie Bengo. You know, I wanted to add some, you know, like with sort of the crisis of faith, you know, in this time, and some people are losing faith, or some, you know, we see this rise in seculars and in nons, people that are of no religious faith. You know, people ask why, how is this possible? Well, I think one of it, I mean, in order to be a person of faith, you really have to be open to the truth, which requires a certain honesty and also kind of what I would say is a consistency. You know, and it's interesting is that even though you were discerning, quote unquote, discerning whether to come into, return to the church or not, you know, there were principles that you held to, which seems that you were a person of the truth, you know, like you were open to the truth, which is that's the base minimum that the Lord wants of us, is be open to the truth.
Right. I am very blessed in that I understand that those Christian values, even though I wasn't a practicing Christian at that time, those Christian values I held dear somewhere in my heart. And I thank God for that grace very, very much, because that's what, you know, gave me that foundation. So I may not have always been listening, I think, to Monsignor Mason, but I heard it. Mm-hmm. Deep inside, I heard it.
Yeah.
And thank God for the good work he did during that Baltimore Catechism, yeah, you know, as we studied that.
And it's also, it's interesting, you know, the messiness of the return, is that sometimes the Catholic Church, through maybe some of her spokespersons, does not always present the truth or the fullness of the gospel in order to appeal to a convert, you know, to try to appeal to people. And it sounds like, you know, oh, well, we don't do confession anymore. It was a distorted view of the church. But nonetheless, the Lord's still able to bring good out of that evil.
Yes, and I think because it was the second time back, the first time when those little interferences by the devil were in my life, I was very naive. I'm still a black and white thinker. So, God has chipped away at that and continues to do that. But this second time, I wasn't so willing to be pushed away by something that would shake my faith.
Mm-hmm.
The second time, thanks be to God, I questioned, and not only questioned in my own mind, but then took some action. So I took the action to make that appointment,
mm-hmm,
to visit with a priest, not knowing if he would say, yeah, that's true, you know, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So thank God he didn't. And
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So then you went to confession, and you began to continue to practice the faith then?
Yes, and it was just a beautiful faith, and I was very lucky at that church. At that time, Father Michael Watson was the priest, and he did so many things to support the parish. He had his own Bible study. So we were getting some information that wasn't Orthodox, but his counter to that was just to work 10 times harder,
yeah,
with things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could, I had these two roads to go down, and I chose to follow the road of Orthodoxy. And that was great. He was loving and kind and patient, and that was a very good beginning priest for me to come back into the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you've gone on this journey, clearly, at least from, you know, as we've become friends over the years, you know, the priesthood has been very important for your faith and for, you know, the development of your faith. You know, and not just in the fact that they give you the sacraments, you know, but that they've really, I think, taught you lessons.
Oh, absolutely.
Years.
Yes. Yes. You know, after Father Watson transferred, we had Father Hammond, and Father Hammond had such a deep love of the faith. And that's where I learned a great deal about the faith and was given resources of what to read or what to study. And those are the things that you said. That's watering the faith and giving me the answers to the hard questions of life. Life is very complex. It's very difficult. And he had expectations for his parishioners to rise to holiness. He loved us. He wanted us to be holy. And my goodness, I will always be grateful to him for that. And so that was very helpful.
And then also, I think, you know, community too, because you have walked with others in the faith and friendship,
mm-hmm.
and they've walked with you. And so, you know, I think it's not just priests, of course, that help us to live this life and kind of deepen our faith, but also the friendships, the relationships.
Oh, yes, yes. Two of my friends, it's very interesting. We all worked at The Ohio State University together when we were in college. And we all came back to the church at about the same time. And those women now live in Newark, and we're still best of friends. And we rely on one another. You know, really, a priest is not going to be in your circle of friends. Their role is different as a father or a leader. But for my church family, having those people, it just makes all the difference in the world, especially in the world today when there's so much confusion, to have other people that you can talk to and pray with.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Julie. Let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Strengthen and renew our faith this day, O Lord. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me has been Julie Bango. Until next time, peace and all good.